Hello?
Oh, hello. Hi, everyone. How is everyone doing? Is everyone enjoying the cooler weather? No, yes. Okay, it's a mixed response. I, for one, am very happy about the cooler weather. But anyways, straight on to for announcements. First up, we have October prayer opportunities. Now, a lot of people might think, hey, why do we pray so much? Well, if we don't pray, we're not preparing for what we're going to do next or what God wants to do sometimes. So what we're doing on 1st of October is 6 a.m. prayer. Woo! Woo! Yes, 6 a.m. prayer. And on the 2nd, we're having a 6 a.m. prayer. And the 9th of October, we're having open prayer from 4 to 5:30 p.m., okay? And basically, if you don't know what we're praying about, just come along and see what God says, all right? Cool. And Living Free class, we have done two Living Free classes, and last week we did the module on forgiveness, which was really awesome. I have to say, I struggled with forgiveness for a long, long time. And I feel like I've taken my first step into forgiveness, into just saying, who am I not to forgive? And this is what Living Free class is all about. It's about shedding what was past, what's still holding you back, and to be able to live free in that, and walk and live in that freedom, which is really awesome. So this coming Tuesday, 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall, we've got our third class. If you've missed the previous two, that's quite all right. Just come over. We'll give you the handouts for the last 2 weeks, and please come join in. At the same time, we have Galia leading the youth Living Free, which is awesome because, you know, sometimes I feel like I wish I knew this when I was a teenager. Am I the only one who thinks that? So I feel like, wow, this is such an awesome opportunity for the young, teenagers to actually start walking in truth, in God's truth, rather than what the world is trying to tell them. Because the world right now tries to distract them with social media, with all sorts of different outlets. But this is really awesome. And Galia is doing a really good job on it. So, if you know any teenagers who would benefit from this, please bring them along as well. Okay, we have Man Camp coming up. Oh, yeah. Man Camp coming up next weekend from Friday to Sunday. And I've never been to a Man Camp in the U.S. before, so I have no idea what to expect. But let's expect the unexpected by allowing God to show up and do what he does best through fellowship with other men, you know, learning. I guess we're going to have like a barbecue or something, and I don't know all the details yet.
We have to, those who are arriving, the van is leaving here, the church, at 6 p.m. on Friday. So 6 p.m., if you're going on the church van or going in the church van down there, it's going to be 6 p.m. Friday that we're leaving.
Okay. That's space limited then.
Yes, that is. We have a few more seats for the van, but there's always a few people carpooling. So just let anybody know, we're actually going to probably call you guys, anybody on the list, probably going to text or get a hold of you guys this week and figure out if you are going in the van or if you guys are driving or what's going on there.
That's right, what he said. Awesome. Now, Women's Fellowship Bible Study. Women? Are there no women here? Yes, okay. Women's monthly meeting, fellowship at 9:30, has changed. Oh! Dun, dun, dun. And here's Marcia to tell you all the details.
Exciting. Our day has changed, and we're going to be meeting the third Saturday of the month, and we're going to still be meet at the same time, 9:30 to 11:30. Is 11:30, because what we're going to do is we're going to join the men for all those who want to and go out and do Okay, there it is. Okay. So that we're going to, whoever wants to, all the women can join the men as they go out on the streets and do outreach. So exciting, women, right? Woohoo! Amen. The next. One more. And look at here. We started a woman's Bible study, and it's at Starbucks. And we want to just invite anybody who wants to come. And really what we're doing is we are reading the scripture that Pastor John or whoever is going to be speaking on Sunday. And we're going to take that scripture and we're going to pray more about it and bring it to a personal place in our lives also and get a greater and deeper understanding and agreement with what God's speaking here in the church. And so we just invite the women who want to. And what's that?
And fellowship.
Every week, yeah. And so you got to have a little coffee, a little Bible time. Yeah, and a little prayer, a lot of prayer. And so it's been real fun. We've only done it once, but we're going to do more. If you want to come, just let us know. The address is there.
Woo! Thank you. Wow. It's at the Starbucks on 106th and Pacific. Just FYI. Okie dokie. And we have Marsha's Movie Night, for short. Sorry. So, Marsha's Movie Night, the next movie that we're going to watch is Breakthrough. It's apparently an amazing movie, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's on the 13th of October after church. So, 13th of October is a Sunday, and seeing that you're all here, we're going to show the movie shortly after service. Okay? So, there's going to be hot dogs. Sorry, what? Oh, bring tissue, or you'll find little boxes of tissue here and there, which is great. There's going to be hot dogs and popcorn instead of pizza that day. It's the second Sunday of the month, and we're going to have hot dog and popcorn instead. Okay? Okie dokie. If everyone would like to stand up and turn to the person next to you and say, "Hey, good looking, I'm so glad you're here today."
And when I was just singing these songs and really Lord spoke to my heart, and I think this is for you. If you feel like you're defeated because you've committed sins and because you fail, you feel like you failed the Lord, you feel like you tumble down and you fall down and you're thinking to yourself, why would Lord love me? Why would he do anything for me? Because I've done this and this and this. And that song was for you. That song was for you. And because we rely, I really like the part, I'm seated in the heavenly place. And what's the next word? Undefeated. Undefeated. You know, it's amazing. You feel like you're defeated. You feel like you fell down. You feel like you were defeated. You feel like you're a failure, but God says you are undefeated. You are seated in the heavenly places. You know, whenever I feel like you don't have any confidence coming to the Lord and praying and asking and claiming and standing on the promises that God has given you, let me give you a verse where you can stand on, all right? Let me just give you the verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." You know what it says? It says, you're not standing in your merit, your deserved status quo or your situations or who you can claim you're Christian. No, no, no. You stand on His grace. That's where we stand. Bible says we stand on His grace. Stand on His grace. You feel like you failed the Lord? Don't worry about it. You stand on His grace. You know, Lord, if you were a Pharisees, if you think you're a righteous man, if you feel like you made it, then why would you need grace? If you have never been sick, why would you need the name of a God would be Jehovah Rapha? You need the name of the Lord, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah my healer, when you are sick, when you have fallen down, when you're weak, when you feel like you're a failure. There's a name of the Lord. You can stand on His grace. You can stand on His grace. That's why we worship with excitement. And we can praise the Lord with such an enthusiasm, saying, with a passion, saying, Lord, I stand on Your grace. Let everybody say that. Lord, I stand on Your grace. I stand on Your grace. Ushers, please come. Let's really worship Him. Let's really worship Him with not only with our hearts, but with our material and everything we have. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we praise You. We worship You. Lord, we, with everything in our hearts, we stand in Your grace. Lord, we stand in Your grace. How awesome it is, not by my merit, not by what we've done, but we stand in Your grace. We praise You. We worship You because of it. Because you're my champion. You're my champion, Lord. I am seated, I'm confessed to You, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, Lord. I am undefeated. Lord, we are undefeated. Lord, thank You. We want to praise You. Receive our worship. Receive our offering. Receive our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Worship team, thank you, Pastor Michael. Yes, let's encourage them. Wow, what a great day to be together in the house of the Lord. Good to see everyone. I think we're going to put the church calendar up, maybe. We'll see. Is that out? Okay. She's ahead of me here. The big announcement, of course, men, don't forget this next weekend is man camp. But in order to build up your affinity for sleep deprivation, we have early morning prayer Tuesday and Wednesday. So you're not going to get much sleep over the weekend. You might as well start practicing now. Come join us right here, 6 a.m. Tuesday, 6 a.m. Wednesday. And those are powerful times, and kind of let the Holy Spirit lead. And I think all of us could always say yes to more prayer. You might also have noticed that tonight at midnight starts Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. And Denise and I found a fun little video that kind of explains what Rosh Hashanah is from, actually this is an actress, a Jewish gal, that's going to explain it to us. So let's go ahead and play that. Yeah. Yes, I did find it on YouTube, so this isn't it. We're having to, it might have fast-forwarded on us, so we'll find the right one here in a minute. There it is.
Hey, Grognards, today we're grogging Rosh Hashanah. It's the Jewish New Year. What does that mean? Well, you might think it means champagne and party hats and confetti and those things that go when you blow on them, you know, like, wrong. The Jewish New Year is festive, but not that. Here's what we do on Rosh Hashanah. One, we eat ritual foods. It's not weird, I promise. We eat apples and honey, or agave if you're vegan. We eat pomegranates because all of the seeds are fortuitous for fertility in so many ways. Non-vegans sometimes eat the head of fish or even the head of a ram, which is a little bit weird. Two, we hear the ancient musical instruments. people to battle or communal gatherings. On Rosh Hashanah, we hear it played hundreds of times. 3, we typically go to synagogue. There are gorgeous liturgical melodies passed on for thousands of years that are only sung at this time of year. Here's me practicing in a quartet I sing in. Spiritually to something bigger than us. It's kind of awesome. 4, we begin the process of taking an accounting of our year. Who have we hurt? Why did we avoid that conversation with our brother? How did we really behave in that breakup? How can we add to our lives and to our souls? All of that gets pondered on Rosh Hashanah. So even though we don't have tons of drinks in random bars all over the world, our new year still kind of rocks. The greeting on Rosh Hashanah is Shana Tova. We use it to mean Happy New Year. Sometimes we also say Shana Tova Metukah, which means Happy Sweet New Year. May this year bring you only good changes. Better connection, more communication, more peace, more love, more tolerance, more bravery. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. I thought that was kind of fun. But the point that I wanted to show this for all of us is I've asked you many times to become students of culture, and not just other cultures, but our own culture. And it's interesting to me as I watch this, Rosh Hashanah has a lot of other meaning and a lot of other depth in it. But it's interesting how over time, traditions mix in and you start doing things and they're kind of fun, nothing wrong with that. But you don't even know why you do most of those things. But there's usually a thread of godliness, of righteousness, of something that God has for all of us. And this feels like a new year to me. And when we celebrate New Year at the end of December and beginning of January, there's some good things we do. Usually same kind of thing, take stock of the last year, make resolutions for the next year, and kind of a fresh start type feeling. But with the holidays and everything else going on, many times that gets overshadowed. And we don't get to really emphasize that. This feels like New Year to me, not just because it's Rosh Hashanah, but I believe God is doing something. And yes, this is based on the Jewish calendar, which is simply put more lunar based on the cycles of the moon versus the Roman calendar that you and I, you know, look at for December 31st, which is based on the solar or the sun. And the amount of days almost that it takes to rotate in our calendar year, what we know on the Roman calendar. But God has a calendar, and that's what I want you to be aware of. As we are all students of our own culture, we are students of Jesus' culture, and I just think it's important right now that we take stock, that we evaluate, that we use this time to say, okay, God, there's not a lot of distraction, a lot of pressure from the way we celebrate New Year on December, end of December. But Lord, I see that as a godly value. I want to take stock of my life. I want to see what you have next in the next chapter. And yes, I want it to be better than the last. And I want this momentum to keep going. So Rosh Hashanah technically begins at midnight tonight. I know Cindy and a few people are going to blow their shofars tonight and be out celebrating, but I wanted you to at least have an idea, but also, in a sense, ride the momentum of what God is doing. I believe God is doing something new, and we're going to pray over that a little later in the service, but I wanted to set that foundation for us. So can we switch back to the message here? Jesus told me this actress is on a TV show. I don't know that show, but okay, you might have recognized her. All right, this is an interesting coalition. Well, I shouldn't say that anymore because I'm just talking about God's calendar, and I believe even our sermon topics are set by the Holy Spirit. This is God's calendar. I couldn't have planned this. I'm not this smart. I don't think this far ahead. but the Holy Spirit does. And you can see by today's sermon title, Salvation in Jail. Now, that may sound like an oxymoron, right? Opposite in terms, that's all oxymoron means, like freezer burn or jumbo shrimp. Those are phrases that we say that are really opposites. Well, I kind of love that wordology, and so I was thinking of the sermon title, and it's like, wow, we're going to see salvation come to jail, come to a prison. And in pre-service prayer, I'm not sure how it's, I know how it started. Katie was sharing with us. She got to go to a concert this week, and it was across from a local jail, and one of the performers said, you know, let's stop for a moment and let's pray for that jail across the street. And I thought, wow, what a great thing to do. I don't know how many of us are in this room, but let's, you know, 80 people or so. What if all 80 of us just kind of said, God, you do this. You bring freedom to the incarcerated. Isaiah 61 proclaims that you are anointed to set captives free. And Jesus, you announced that in Luke 4:18 and 19 when you stood up and said, that time is now. I'm here that captives of every type will be set free, really free. And so it's a new year. Freedom is here. I'm very proud of our jail ministry. I know what Marcia and Kathy do every week, and I know others are working in the system, so to speak, with families and children. And so I'm very proud of the ministry that comes out of this church. But if you agree with me, you know what? Let's pray some freedom. I think our Pierce County Jail, if I'm looking at my geography, yeah, okay. right about there, all right? Let's stand and let's just kind of pray freedom in this direction. And obviously, it's not a gimmick. That's not what's going to change things. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, is what's going to change things. And the prayers of the believers, which is all of us, saying, yes, we are in. Yes, we believe this. Marcia, you want to come lead us in this? She's one of the chaplains, along with my wife, Kathy, in the jail. And yes, we love getting the requests every week. And you were just there yesterday, I believe, right? So let's just agree with her as she prays freedom. Let me turn your microphone on. Oh. Yep.
Okay.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just, God, just face towards Pierce County Jail, and we pray, Holy Spirit, for you to encounter every man and every woman in that. Addiction. Lord, you would tear down the walls of unbelief that they are of no value and no worth. And we declare over them today, Isaiah 43:18-19, forget that. Forget your past. It's nothing compared to what I'm about to do with you. Can you not see it? So we declare that eyes be opened today, and that, God, the deafness and the blindness off of their eyes be removed, and that they receive you and the fullness that you've created them for. In Jesus' name, we just call forth salvation.
Salvation come.
Salvation.
Freedom come.
Holy Spirit come. Freedom. Deliverance. And even over all of the guards, the judges,
yes,
and the court system, Lord, we pray favor and change in the name of Jesus. Drug court, we thank you, Lord, for freedom and deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you. You may be seated. Wow. Amen. All right. There's a little bit in Acts that we're going to cover before we get to the story of the jailer that receives salvation. And I think also some equipping for us as a church. So I'm glad you came to church today and you were willing to kind of stand up and carry a little of the weight. You know what I mean? This isn't just where we come and watch and see someone else do it. We're all part of the body of Christ. Every one of our prayers counts. It creates a momentum. and you are doers of the word, not just hearers. So this first section, let's just kind of categorize it by equipping us for what's next. And I kind of see the theme building, again, not by me, but the Holy Spirit preparing us in this little section of Scripture. So I titled this, Luke Continues His Firsthand Account. Don't forget that Dr. Luke, not one of the 12 disciples, but definitely probably one of the 72 that got sent out, but was a follower of Jesus Christ and was a witness to all these things on a firsthand account. And so when the missionaries went out, guess what? Dr. Luke comes along and he's writing all this down furiously as fast as he can. And I'm so grateful to him because you and I have these records, firsthand accounts. And you can read that as he says, one day as we, so there's the plural there, he was with them. It wasn't just a story somebody told him. He says, we were going down to the place of prayer. So don't forget, even though we're reading these highlights of this missionary journey, wow, we have work as ministers to keep Jesus Christ front and center in our lives. Now, I'm still learning this. I'm still figuring this out. I've, you know, many of you know, I've only been an ordained pastor for a little over 10 years, so I haven't done this all my life. And I have to keep thinking, wait a minute, this is not about a job. This is about a relationship with my Savior, with the Lord of creation. And, you know, I think all of us can fight that distraction one way or the other. Sometimes that creeps in different versions, and we get kind of task-orientated, at least I do. But this is really what these guys were doing. They're going to start their day off with prayer, you know. I don't know if it was early morning prayer. It could have been very early. Another shameless plug for 6 a.m. this Tuesday. All right, so they're going down to the place of prayer, and we meet a demon-possessed slave girl. Now, what a heartbreaking title all in one sentence. It's heartbreaking enough that she was indentured, sold, she was a slave, but demon-possessed. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. Interesting, isn't it? Wow. Okay. Kind of evaluate what she said there. It happens to be true. So she's following them. If you get the picture, they're going to pray. And demon voice is crying out a true statement. Very, very interesting. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it instantly left her. Now, there's a lot of information here, and I'm going to make a few points, mostly in the category of how does this relate to us today as a church, as a ministry. Well, number one, I've always had a heart that you can evaluate, that you would use your God-given wisdom and discernment. You know, so what did she say? What was so bad? Well, remember, if money is the motivation, wow, the heart is what God cares about. And we learned in the text that she was making a lot of money. And so even though the things she was saying on the surface were true, the motivation was bad. The motivation was wrong. And that's, by the way, how we're all going to be judged. I can stand before God and I can say, oh, yeah, I actually, for the last third of my life, I became a pastor. Isn't that a great thing? Well, it could be. My motivation was right. That's not what's going to be judged, not my resume. It's not like, you know, St. Peter or Jesus, or, oh, okay, well, that resume looks okay. No. It could be my heart. The motivation of my heart. Well, I actually did something good. I actually prayed for somebody. Yeah, that's really good. Why'd you do it? What do you mean, why did I do it? It's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. The motivation of our heart is a difficult thing. And I'm just submitting this to you, to me, to saying this is really how we're going to be judged. And it is a very, very different criteria than how we even judge each other, how we judge ourselves. Remember, the psalmist said, Lord, you judge my heart. Show me now. Is there any way in there that's contrary to you? Because if there is, I'd like to know now. I'd like to work on it now. And that's my motivation too, and I hope it's yours. And that's, by the way, why we pray for each other. To get a head start. Yeah, let's work on it now. If we can get any of that junk out of there now, awesome. We won't have to have it when we face the Lord. I kind of came up with a couple proverbs. Boy, they're just fun and they're wisdom. But Proverbs 11:4, riches won't help you on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. Again, in a proverbial tense, this girl can make a lot of money, but it's not going to mean anything. And many times our motivation is financial, isn't it? That's kind of a major one, and we need to evaluate that. Yeah, if it's for money, when it comes to the end of our lives, that's not going to count for anything. All right, the text actually says, this girl, I read out of the New Living Translation, which says she was demon-possessed. That's vocabulary you and I can probably relate to. But it says she was having a spirit of divination. And that means she was able to know things that humanly you wouldn't know. It just means that she was using this evil spirit to basically be a fortune teller. And, I've had encounters with the occult over my lifetime. And, my experience, in short, demons are liars. And so, it can sound like, oh, isn't this interesting? Some information nobody can know. I don't put a lot of weight in it. They're liars. And I don't know if you want to set the course of your life based on what somebody told you that's a liar, or if you would rather navigate by God's truth. For me, I choose God's truth. So even though it might tickle your ears, and even though it might sound fascinating, and oh yeah, there's some stuff that nobody could have known, that does not impress me. Because I know there are spirits of divination out there, you've probably elbowed against them yourselves, I'm not impressed by that. And I know the heart, I know the motivation, and I know that Satan's kingdom is based on lies. All right, every message has a motivation, by the way. So this is, again, I'm hope my heart for you is that your wisdom, your discernment, you'll learn to discern it. Statements that are mostly right can still be motivated by the demonic, meaning Satan doesn't come out and just blatantly lie. Most people would recognize that. He wraps the truth in a little wrapping paper, he wraps that lie in a little wrapping paper of truth. There's mixture. And that mixture causes us to swallow the whole thing, and that's the poison. So that's where your discernment needs to kick in. Number one, motivation. Number two, well, it sounds right, but wait a minute, there was just a couple little details that weren't right. Yeah, I pay attention to that. That's a red flag to me, and I want it to be a red flag to you. Again, the only way you can really do that is if you are a student of truth. More truth in, guess what? You're going to recognize when even there's a little cheating on the details, even when there's a little bending of the truth, you'll go like, oh, wait a minute. I'm a student of truth. I pray. I worship. I listen to truth. I read God's truth. I got truth in there. Yeah, you'll recognize the counterfeit. By the way, you can measure Holy Spirit fruit. And this is something I've always encouraged. I encourage our leaders, because, we see some craziness here and there. And the temptation is to be quick to move to judgment. I'm like, no, we got time. There's no pressure here. And notice that's really what Paul and Silas did. They were patient until finally, who knows how many days, we don't know the span of time, but finally he turns to the demon and casts the demon out. He didn't do it first day. I don't think he did it second day. Probably didn't do it third, fourth, or fifth. So patience is something that we can afford. And the reason I say that is because the fruit gives you no doubt. Over time, yeah, you know, yeah, you can judge my life and go, oh yeah, this pastor gig, what a good thing, you know, you're just doing that for whatever. Hey, guess what? I'm over 10 years now. So check my life for the last 10 years. That's pretty tough to bluff. You know, you could do it for maybe 10 months, but wow, that's tough to sustain, right? Over time, let's check the fruit. Check my fruit, check anybody that we get up here. That's the idea. And yes, we have testimonies of people that just get saved, but they're not your spiritual leaders. They're not the ones making decisions for the spiritual direction of the ministry and the church. There's a place for those just got saved testimonies. I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about Holy Spirit fruit you can measure. It is listed for you. Peace, love, joy, goodness, sound mind, self-control. You can measure that. Now, maybe instantly it's tough to measure, but over time, it's going to be real or it isn't. That it's as simple as that. It's you can't fake that over large spans of time. So, what is the strategy? Why did this demon, you know, this poor girl, I really feel like she's somewhat the victim in this story, but she's a slave girl. Her masters are taking advantage of her. This demon is speaking through her. What's the strategy? And why would she follow these guys and basically say some true statements? Hey, these guys are from God. Yeah, true. They're here to show you the way of salvation. Also true. Tick that box as well. What's the demonic strategy? Because it's pretty plain in the text that this voice is coming from hell itself. Well, number one, I think you've probably gleaned it from the points I've made. Counterfeit. This is the enemy's number one track record tool that he has used throughout the ages, going back to a serpent in the garden. Counterfeit. It looks good, looks attractive, really, really, really close. That's how a counterfeit works, right? It's really close. But unless you know the perfect, unless you know the truth, you could get fooled by the counterfeit. The enemy knows this, and the enemy, it's a strategy of his. Maybe this girl was to associate with Paul and Silas and Luke, and kind of after a while, people would think, oh, well, she must be one of them, you know, but it would be counterfeit. Number two, you know, infiltrate. This is a hard one, and this was a hard one for me to learn. When the enemy attacks, we got warriors in this room, we got faith in this room, we got prayers. I thank God for each and every one of you, prayers in this room that form literally a picket line of prayer around this place and around this ministry. That is our number one secret of success here. So the enemy knows there's not much chance for him infiltrating from the outside. Meaning the attack from the outside, we're just like, okay, another day at the office. Yes, let's pray, let's bless. Let's forgive, let's pray salvation. Let's pray life where death is. Let's pray blessing where there are curses. We have God's authority to do that. And that just, I don't know about you, but that wakes the warrior up in me. That's like, okay, let's get going. Yes, I see the stuff flying in. I see it out there. I read the headlines this morning. I get it. Let's come in here and bow our heads and pray. Let's fire the real artillery back. But you know, the attacks that have been the toughest on me in my ministry life, and this is kind of a sad commentary, but it's from within. That's the toughest one. And the enemy is quite comfortable in church. You would think that's not the case, but I'm here to tell you no. He's not intimidated by being on the inside. So, all that to say, that may have been one of the strategies. Well, maybe this gal, you know, she's saying, hey, they're from God. They're here to show you the way to salvation. She could infiltrate their missional team and from the inside do some real damage. But the last one, we're family, so I'm going to be candidly honest with you because I love you. This is one that is a demonic strategy. Association. Now, how many times, don't answer this, don't raise your hand, don't even make eye contact, all right? Because you're going to think, oh, how does he know? How many of you have heard or thought or had a friend that says, I'm not going to church. I've been hurt by the church. Okay, don't react. Just freeze. Well, that's association, all right? Jesus didn't hurt you. A person at church hurt you. Really? You're going to fall for that one? Well, yeah, I did that for you, and I did all this, and then that person hurt me. Well, okay, but the enemy's strategy is to counterfeit, infiltrate, and then by association, hurt you. That's not, I guarantee you, you have never been hurt by Jesus. You've never been betrayed by Jesus. You've never been rejected by Jesus, and you never will. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been rejected. I know you've been, all those things are true. I'm not diminishing that. But please, that's not Jesus. You can tell the difference. All right? Don't be fooled by this trick. This is Demon 101. You don't need to know anymore. And I don't know anymore. I don't study demonology, and I tell people, please, you don't study demonology. Let's just study Jesus. But even in this little story in Acts, we see enough to know, oh, well, that's a dumb trick. Will that really work? Oh, does I can't imagine. Yes! Apparently it works. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, I have heard, not from us, not from this church, but I've heard other people that have met other people that have met other people. How's that? Is that far enough removed that you can't work it backwards? Like, I wonder if he's talking about me. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about anyone in this room. But I've heard this. It's like, oh yeah, I met so-and-so. They used to go to church, but now they don't because they said they were hurt by the church. That's heartbreaking. That's a trick. It's a trick of the enemy. Understand, this is why the enemy keeps doing it. Because it works. I don't know why it works. It shouldn't work. It sounds silly when you talk about it. But I think that's probably the number one remedy, is if we really understand it, it's brought to the light. It wouldn't work on anybody. So that's why the enemy wants to keep this underground, and why the Word of God points this out for us. So we'll go, oh, okay, learn the lesson. Learn the lesson and not fall for the trick. Listen, here's the part for this, just us. And as the body of Christ, it's handling demonic irritations. And I use this word, I actually found it in a commentary, and I thought, oh, this is great. Because, you know, the demon had this power. It could speak. It could tell a few tidbits of the future. But that's nothing compared to Jesus Christ. And to these disciples, it was like an irritation. It was like, okay, brush that off. What were we doing again? All right, let's get back to Jesus stuff. And I thought, oh, that's the right perspective. So how do we handle a church, especially here at Freedom River Outreach? There really does seem to be a fight over the airspace. And what I mean by that is we work very hard to fill the airwaves with worship, with prayer, with God's word, with truth. The enemy hates that. And the enemy wants to create static. He wants to drown that out. And so if you can imagine an invisible battlefield with the artillery being fired, God's truth versus anything that can drown that out, that's really what kind of happens. So number one, and this has happened before, it will happen again, but number one, don't overreact. No fear. Meaning, if there's a demonic manifestation during a service, before a service, after a service, hey, I hope you're going like, okay, well, that was a little distracting, but back on to what Jesus has for us. If you overreact, fear comes in the room, guess what? That's the enemy's tactic. The enemy, by the way, hates to manifest. It's one of the last things that he will do. But for us, I think we're knocking on the door. I think we're getting close to breakthrough. I actually expect it. Finally, Paul became so troubled. Patience is always good. So I will always err on the side of being patient. And I'm just kind of quoting the text there where Luke records for us. Finally, Paul became so troubled, meaning his spirit was saying, this has gone on far enough, it's gone too far. But the point being, it wasn't reactionary. It wasn't like, you know, demon girl, whoa, cast you out, boom. No, it was like, hey, well, we're going to go pray today. We're going to go pray tomorrow. We're going to go pray the next day. And every day she was following him. Every day she was shouting. We can afford to be patient. So, number one, don't overreact. No fear. Number two, be patient. Understand the strategy because every ministry will face this. This last week, it just worked out that Kathy and I and Marcia were taking a break at a little coffee shop up the street. And while we were in there, a friend of mine who's a pastor in Parkland was also there. I kind of thought he would be there, so it wasn't a total surprise. But the second we sit down with our coffee, his first question to me, he says, man, in our last service, this happened. This girl happened to be a girl in his church, started manifesting, shouting, you know, demon stuff, cursing us. I think I could have the details wrong. Maybe it wasn't a girl. But anyway, the point being, his questions to me were, what do you do? I couldn't ignore it. I go, yeah, you can't ignore it when it's that loud, when it's that crazy. But instantly I went to like, hey, high five, that's so cool. He's like, so cool. I go, yes, you're making a difference. I think most of us should probably ask, how come we don't have more open resistance? You know, but hey, in your case, yeah, I get it. Man, there's a fight going on in the heavenlies. And the enemy wanted to distract from the word of God going out, worship, whatever you guys were doing. So number one, and I told this to him, and I know I've told you this to you before, but remember this for me. I'm okay. Don't worry about the pastor. Meaning there may be craziness going off somewhere in the room, and you're like, okay, my discernment says that's not of the Lord, but that's okay. I'm not going to freak out. I remember my training. It's part of prayer team training, by the way. Don't overreact. Just bless, be patient, pray. But what happens is people start getting worried for the pastor. They start like, oh, but it's so distracting. I can't hear the pastor. And poor pastor, he planned this service, and he's got all these illustrations, and no one can hear him. Hey, don't worry for me. Because I'm up here kind of going on the inside, all right, this has gotten real. We are in the mixer. All right, Lord, what are you going to do? So I am okay. Never forget that, all right? It doesn't matter how crazy it gets. It could be like a chapter from Men in Black, that movie, you know, and craziness going on in here, and I'll be up here going, yay, God. What is happening next? We have gotten close, finally. So you can take that out of your concern. Don't be concerned for me. And I, by the way, my pastor friend, who's quite a bit younger than me, I shared this with him. I said, well, you let your congregation know, not to be pick up an offense for you. By the way, here's another point I wanted to make, and I'll use a comparison. His church is a very, what I would call, young, middle America church. So, you know, for us, you're probably like, oh yeah, I get it. You know, it's us. It's kind of the outreach we do. It's the prison ministry. It's the people struggling, you know, with different things. So yeah, at Freedom River Outreach, that's normal. Well, okay, I'm happy with however you want to brand that. But that doesn't overlay over my friend's church, right? They're very PLU, Middle America type church. And it happened there. And so I want you to know this is not just a brand of ministry type issue. This is if you are really making a difference in the kingdom of God issue. And this will happen if you are advancing. And by the way, I think, you know, we in Acts, we see not only the apostles advancing and people getting saved, and that's probably why this young girl manifests this way and this happened. I gave you some references here in the book of Acts because this isn't the only handling of the demonic. Remember Simon the Sorcerer? We already went over that several months ago, but that's in Acts chapter 8. Another fun one coming up, it will be in Acts chapter 19. These are some guys that had wrong motivation and were trying to cast out demons, seven sons of Sceva, and we'll have a lot of fun when we get to that one. So this is in here because the Word of God, in its genius in preparing us and equipping us, knows every ministry will face this, and how do we do it in a godly, honoring way that we can really care for people. Listen, make your decision now to stand for Jesus, because that's really the point of all of this is, yes, it's hard to check our heart. Yes, man, the enemy can say things, you know, through all of us, me too, that aren't of God. So we got to be vigilant. But make your decision now. We're standing for the Lord. And here's another proverb for you. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as lions. We are the ones that stand. We are the ones that own these streets. I went out with a couple of our teammates in here Thursday on the streets. During food bank, we go out and pick up trash and pray for anyone that will let us pray for them. And I just felt such confidence last Thursday. God, these streets are our streets. I'm not like, oh, I'm just out here picking up trash. I'm like, no, this is my house. Enemy, you are the one crashing on my sofa, throwing trash everywhere, getting people addicted, anesthetized out of their minds. No, this is my house. I'm going to be out here, and I'm going to pray for people. Freedom, sound mind, come back. Yeah, pick up the trash. But the point is, the enemy's the trespasser. He's the one in fear. And I think my wife actually prayed this in one of our prayer times. God, may the enemy's camp be scattered. We see God do that, right? Fear enters their camp. Our camp, no fear. No fear. We have the right to be here. We're in the right place. All right. The rest of the story. So this, you're probably tracking and going, okay, this is really cool. These guys are doing God's work. This poor demon-possessed gal comes up. They free her. What a good story. There's more. You and I hear this and think this is a good thing. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grab Paul and Silas, drag them before the authorities in the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar. This is their testimony, by the way, which is false and exaggerated. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted to the city officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. False accusation there. A mob quickly formed. People love a cause. And it formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten. And they were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. Wow. For what? For doing good things, for setting someone free, for doing Jesus' ministry. There's a real cost here. And I've been very transparent, I've been very upfront and very honest with you. Yeah, we all have to make that decision. We're standing for Jesus, no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. All right, so they were thrown in prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon, dark, awful place, probably with a hole in the ceiling that you're let down in through. It's awful. and clamped their feet in stocks, very uncomfortable, and again used only for the most violent offenders, not only as punishment, but to keep them extra secure. Wow, talk about overboard. This isn't a comfortable stay, especially after you've been beaten. Now you can't move because your hands and feet are clamped down. This is an awful situation. Now, if you imagine yourself after having a day like that, bad day, started out good, praying. Man, you did some ministry, set a girl free. Now get falsely accused, which, by the way, is hurtful. If you've been falsely accused, you know how that gets in there. But if the heart hurt isn't enough, now you got some physical hurt on top of that. And so now, through no fault of your own, you're in this painful, dark, alone situation. Let's have a little fun. What would you be doing right now? What would be coming out of your mouth right now, right in that situation? Well, let's turn the page and find out what these two guys were doing. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. I don't know if you can relate to that. I don't know where I would be. I want to be here. And I'm getting closer, I can tell, because I don't react to things the way I used to react. But wow, that is a tough go. And their response was prayer and worship. And by the way, the word for the other prisoners listening, it was they were tracking. They were in tunely. They were all hearing what Paul and Silas were doing. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake. And by the way, when we pray, we like to pray these suddenlies. And this is one of the examples, because you'll see when God moves, it can look pretty dark, pretty bleak. And then suddenly, everything is different. Everything changes. Let's pray for more suddenlies in our life, in our lifetime, in our culture, in our city. So here's one of God's suddenlies. There was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open. The chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open, and he assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself because he knew he would be killed. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, wow, this is amazing sentence in Scripture. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now you may think, okay, saved from being killed, saved from the man. No, nobody escaped. I don't think he was talking about physical salvation. He's talking about your God, I want him to be my God. What must I do to be in the same category of salvation as you two guys are? Because this life is pretty temporal, pretty temporary. What must I do to be saved? They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." Meaning this offer of belief is offered to everyone. And they shared the way of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them, washed their wounds. Wow. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. Wouldn't that have been an interesting scene? He brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, let the men go. They must have realized there's no evidence, it's all false accusation. So the jailer told Paul, besides God moving, hey, the city officials have said you and Silas are free to go. Go in peace. But Paul replied, hey, they've publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison. We are Roman citizens. This is a new fact here. So now they want us to leave secretly? Nope. Let them come themselves to release us. When the police reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them, and they brought them out and beg them to leave the city. Okay, now leave. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia, which is the woman that was saved last week. And by the way, you see, you know, this prominent businesswoman, Lydia, gets saved. And now the enemy pushes back. Wow, this is warfare. It's spiritual warfare. If you would graph this, you'll see God move, you'll see the enemy counter. God move, the enemy counter. I share this with you because, church, I believe over the next couple months, we're going to see God move right here. And I know we are preparing for what we call Frovember, our spiritual renewal month. But God has been doing many things, setting the foundation, setting the infrastructure. And I'm thrilled about that. And I'm going to count every salvation and every miracle, every sign and wonder as glory to God. But my prayer for the last 15 years hasn't been just a one-time shot, okay, great, month of revival, and then just as quickly as it came up, it tanks. My heart is, God, build a people, build a foundation, build me, that we are so sold out for you and your kingdom that this will be sustainable. That this will be sustainable for a decade, for two decades. That this will be sustainable over a generation so we can hand this off to the next generation and say, here's your promotion. Run and not grow weary. Listen, Paul understood this. And this is what I call the Acts 16 t-shirt. By the way, this is a real thing. I looked this up because I thought, wouldn't this be interesting to have a t-shirt from Acts 16? Gee, okay, I went to pray. I delivered a girl from demon. I got beaten and I got thrown in jail and then I got freed. Wow, that's a lot in one chapter. So I looked it up and you can buy this. I'm not sure if it's kind of cheeky or a joke, but I think there's some seriousness to it too. And so take it however you want to take it. The point being, for you and I to really say, oh yeah, I got to do some things for Jesus. You know, like, you know, Lydia of Philippi believes in Jesus and demon girl gets delivered and Paul and Silas get, what? Yeah, there's going to be some cost. And our response to this is going to be this. And not only does this backfire on the enemy, but it advances God's kingdom. Our response, and the t-shirt, by the way, you may not be able to read it, but it says jailed, shipwrecked, whipped, snake bit, stoned, all these things happened to Paul and Silas as missionaries. The point being, yes, all these things backfire. Not only can God sustain us, but they backfire on the enemy and advance God's kingdom. And God frees them in a way where more and more people actually hear the good news. And I think actually even the city officials. And remember, back in Acts chapter 9, this has been a while ago, but the Lord said to a man named Ananias, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as the people of Israel. And I've had this verse quoted to me, and people stop right there and go, yeah, that's who I am. I'm going to minister to kings. I'm going to minister to Jews. Okay, great. Do you know what the rest of that word says? Huh? What? No, I just end there. Okay, read on, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I had times with the Lord that are very similar to this. A little different verbiage, but the Lord said there will be a cost. And at the time, I'm like, I don't care, Jesus. I'm willing to pay whatever cost. Just stop the owie, relieve the pain. I'm saying yes to you. I'm very grateful that many times we don't have full knowledge of what God wants to do. I'm also recognize that most of us say yes to Jesus based on the capacity we have at the time. And the Lord says, Wow, that's faith. You don't even know what you're saying yes to. Well, I think I do. Oh, no, you don't. Well, I'm still saying yes, I think. Amen. That's faith. I'll sustain you. And that's what the Lord's doing. Don't worry about this stuff. Connect with your Savior. Because no matter what is ahead of you, He is the one that will sustain you. There are people, this last week of prayer times, you know, we pray several times. But it was not just one, and I don't want to embarrass them, but some of our prayers in here actually prayed a version of this. They said, God, we want to see this, so show me. Show me any way that's hindering this, constricting you move. We want to see healing. We want to see signs and wonders. And I heard them pray. This isn't me, by the way. This is guys that you would know in this room. And I'm really proud of them. And I don't want to embarrass them, but they're like Tom and John. They're praying this prayer, and I'm hearing it, and I'm like, wow, I remember praying that prayer too. And it terrified me. But they're sincerely praying that God show me, because we don't want to be a hindrance to what you are going to do. And I'm like, okay, God, thank you for these guys. It's not me, but I'm joining them. I'm joining them. Amen. And saying, God, all right, you've got me to this place where I can start praying this too. A true seeker of God has the courage to let the Lord show you, and He'll get you ready for whatever He has next. And this is where we're going to end, but Paul, when he understood this towards the end of his ministry, he says, yes, everything else is worthless. I don't care about position. I don't care about wealth. But when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, man, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. For His sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. You know, he was a very religious guy before he met Christ. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. That's what he said to the jailer. Faith. Believe in this God that loves you, that accepts you. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead, salvation. I want to suffer with Him. What? Yeah, he gets it now. I want to share in His sufferings is another version of this. Most of our suffering, by the way, everyone has suffering, but for most of us, it's our own darn fault. Christ's suffering, that was not His fault. And Paul says, that's the kind of suffering I want to have. For the rest of my life, I'm tired of my own fault suffering. I want to share with Christ. Yeah, it's still going to be hard, but life without Christ is hard. So now, I get Christ. Bonus. So worth it. Stan, let me pray that over you. And we'll dismiss. In one way or another, church, you are going to experience such love, such acceptance, that everything else is garbage. So, Lord, I thank you for our leaders in this room, and I join myself with them, especially the prayers in this room, because I saw them, I heard them with my human ears praying this way this week. So, Lord, this is our chance where all of us as a church can join their leadership. And we say, yes, Jesus, we say yes to you. With whatever that means, we confess we don't really know, but we can trust you. And trust that whatever you call us to, you will be the one that sustains us. So thank you for these examples. Thank you for this leadership. But Holy Spirit, come. We want to experience this salvation. We want to experience this power. We want to experience this love right now. So with that in mind, I want to say yes verbally. I want to say it out loud. So if you agree with that, church, why don't you just say yes to Jesus? Not to me, not to the person next to you, but say it out loud. to say yes. Yes, we say yes. It's that simple. And you need to know that the Lord is closer to you than you could realize. And he's got this smile of acceptance, and he's looking at you and he's saying, wow, what faith. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I'm so proud of you. You don't even know what you're saying yes to, but you're saying yes to me. I won't let you down. And by the way, you can bank on that promise. The Lord will not let you down. So Jesus, I pray for your protection. I pray for your sustaining of every person that said yes to you. Now with every head bowed, I just want to look up myself, and maybe you haven't experienced this salvation. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus, and you want this salvation that comes by faith, not by works. It's just being able to say yes, that his price he paid on the cross will cover all your sin. If you want to accept Christ today, I won't embarrass you, but will you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I just want to make sure this is between you and the Lord. I wanted to give this opportunity today. I don't always do it. And you don't need me to say yes to Jesus, by the way, but if you are here and haven't had a chance, I'll give you that chance right now. So just look up and raise your hand if there's anyone that wants to do that for the first time. Okay. Lord, I thank you for this amazing group in Room of Faith. We love you, Lord, and we receive that you are for us, and we're actually excited about what's next. Come, Lord Jesus, loose your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church together said, amen. 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 Thanks for coming to church today. We'll see you.